When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now for a Wednesday. That means hump day, and that means Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, who joins us on the line. Chuck, I've been dying to ask you, what do you think of the Stephen Horsford affair dating back to 2009, okay, involving an intern in the office of Harry Reid, can you say Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, a 21-year-old intern? Until last night, nobody in the congressional delegation from Nevada, nobody's been willing to give us even a peep of an explanation. And now we've got the two U.S. senators both saying it's a personal matter and we should give them the privacy that they need, Mr. and Mrs. Horsford. First of all, what do you make of this? This is to me, this is the classic Washington, a guy with power and a young 21-year-old intern. The story's not new.
No, it's not new, but it's different, and here's how. Just for your listeners, imagine for a second that Stephen Horsford was a Republican instead of a Democrat. And just imagine the difference in how the media and the opposition party would have handled this. I mean, it would have been just a nightmare if it had been a Republican and would have never been able to withstand the scrutiny. But the hypocrisy of those on the left who are constantly, you know, the Me Too movement and all of this stuff, to be just silent or saying or agreeing that it's a personal matter because it's a Democrat rather than a Republican. I mean, the hypocrisy is so thick you can cut it with a chainsaw.
Well, and the other thing is it's the women. Now I would understand it if maybe men took a different view of this thing, but the women in Congress who see this thing every day, they know what's going on, and yet they say nothing. They say it's a personal matter. When we know that as a part of this story, the congressman helped support Gabriella Linder. We don't know where the money came from, his personal account, his campaign accounts, his congressional accounts. But nobody seems to want to go there.
Now, you know, Kevin, there's one thing, and I'll remind everybody of this, and I know you'll remember it, but everybody seems to have forgotten it. Years ago, there was a call when the Me Too movement was launched for Congress to release all the information of any other sexual harassment complaints lodged against members of Congress. Those reports have never been released. It's just another example of there's two set of rules for everybody, one for Congress and one for the rest of the country and the citizens. And I don't know what happened to that. Why is it that all of these complaints that have been filed against Congress members in the past are still being covered up and haven't been released to the public?
And my question is, follow the money. You know, where did the money come from? If indeed he was helping to support her, where did that money come from? And we still to this moment don't know. And I want to ask you the political question. All of these CD4 candidates on the Republican side, are they all pretty much in lockstep of asking for an investigation or asking for a resignation?
Tactically, I don't know the rules yet, Kevin. I don't know what would happen if he resigned today or if he resigned after the primary or if he resigned after the general. I'm not sure how that would play out. So tactically, I don't really want to venture an opinion on that yet. I'm not sure anybody knows how that would play out. But I don't know what the point is of asking for an investigation. He's already admitted it. And as far as whether or not there's any political relevance to his personal conduct, I'd say there is. And I'm not talking, you know, about the morality of having extramarital affairs so much as I am talking about the fact that you can't trust anything that this guy says. I mean, if he's willing to hide and, you know, lie to his family and hide and cover this up for a decade, why should anybody believe anything he says about, whether or not we should repeal Obamacare or whether or not we need to spend money on this program or that program? There's nothing that you can believe that comes out of this man's mouth because he's already proved that he's a proven liar and a deceiver. So how can the public possibly trust anything he says on any issue?
Well, and regardless of who the nominee is for the Republicans, the election in November comes down to, do we want a sleazebag, scumbag in the halls of Congress? Or do we want people that are good family people, blah, 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 blah? Anyway, I guess my point is that this becomes an issue, and how much of an issue will it be in November?
Yeah, and again, this goes back to the tactics of this. If he were to resign today, his name would still be on the ballot, but if he resigns and is disqualified, then the question is, well, there is a Democrat primary challenger. So does that primary challenger automatically, you know, win and go forward into the November election? Or if he resigns today, do we call a special election that would be held in July or August and then go into the general election in November? It's really impossible for me to say right now because I honestly don't know, Kevin, but it really is a mess. But it's a game changer. I still believe that it's going to be a real uphill battle for any Republican to win that district. I think Democrats will vote for Stephen Horsford if he's on the ballot again in large numbers. It may affect the votes of some independent voters. It's still going to be an uphill battle, but it does put this seat in better play than what it was before this revelation came out. So now for the Republican side, I wrote about this yesterday, it's more important to nominate the Republican candidate who has the best chance to win in November rather than nominating the most conservative candidate. It's a huge Democrat district, so you need to find the most conservative candidate who can win, and I think that changes the dynamic of the Republican primary.
Again, joining us, Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. Who do you think that candidate is? I'm curious.
You know, if right now, as it stands right now, I think that the strongest of the top three candidates would be Lisa Song Sutton. The second strongest would be Jim Marchant, and the third strongest would be Sam Peters. All three have demonstrated an ability to raise money. The rest have, you know, the good conservatives, good people, they'd make great congresspeople, they'd make great representatives, but they haven't demonstrated the ability to raise the money necessary to be competitive in the general election against whoever the nominee is. So, you know, my pick, I think you should narrow it down to Lisa Song Sutton, Jim Marchant, or Sam Peters.
So what happens Horsford gets through to the general election, and the Republicans decide on somebody. Will this be an issue, or does this drop down in relevance when you talk about the presidential election and, you know, the wave election, things like that? Does it change things? Is this going to be the issue in this particular race?
It should be. I don't know what other issue really that you have. Again, with it being such a overwhelmingly Democrat majority, you can't really run against him because he's a tax and spend liberal. Everybody knows that, and that's what Democrats vote for. I don't know of any other issue out there that could possibly move votes out of Horsford's camp and into the GOP camp. But it, you know, these candidates or whoever the nominee is after June 9th is going to have to handle it correctly. If you want to get up on your moral high horse and and use this issue from that standpoint rather than going after him as an issue of honesty and integrity and believability, I think that's where you have to go after this guy. And every issue that comes up, you can use that aspect of the issue. When Stephen Horsford says A, you say, well, yeah, but can we believe him? When he says B, you say, yeah, but can we believe him? And you have to keep hammering home on the fact that you can't believe a word this man says.
The president tweeted out early this morning, and he tweeted out about Nevada, and he tweeted out about the mail-in ballots. By the way, just a quick parenthetical, this is exactly why I hate the mail-in ballot. I despise it. Early voting, things like that, I hate it. And mainly because the people that voted 4 days ago for Stephen Horsford in CD4, they now wake up and they say, oh, my God, this guy's been having an affair since 2009. He's been supporting this woman. Oh, my God, can I get my thing out of the mail and change my ballot? Maybe I should be asking Wayne Thorley about this, but can people change their vote?
I've been told no. I've looked into that, and no. The only thing that they can do is if their ballot is lost or stolen, they can request a new ballot. But once it's mailed in, it's just like casting your ballot, you know, on a voting machine. Once it's cast, and you can't change it. Even if you forget to sign your ballot and you mail it in, and the election department contacts you and says, hey, you forgot to sign the outside of your envelope, all they can do is sign the outside of the envelope. They can't open the envelope and vote again or change their ballot. Once it's cast, it's done, and so I'm in 100% agreement with you, Kevin, and I've been saying it for decades now. I don't like early voting. It costs more money for somebody to challenge an incumbent. It's incumbent protection to start with, and you're absolutely right. I mean, most campaigns that have limited dollars are going to hold off on, you know, dropping the bomb on their political opponent until the last 2 weeks of an election. You don't know what's going to come out until the last 2 weeks before an election. And this is a perfect example of it.
By the way, I alluded to the president tweeting out at 6 o'clock our time, 9 o'clock back east. Here's what he said. State of Nevada, quote, thinks, unquote, that they can send out illegal vote-by-mail ballots, creating a great voter fraud scenario for the state and for the U.S. They can't do it. If they do, quote, I think, unquote, I can hold up funds for the state. Sorry, but you must not cheat in elections. The president, I think, probably laying down a marker not for the primary election, but for the general in November. What do you think the president's trying to do with this?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we all know that this is wrong. The decision to make this an all mail-in ballot should have been made by the legislature. If you're going to change election law, the lawmakers should make that change, not the Secretary of State. She shouldn't be able to rewrite the laws on her own. So, I mean, that's one problem. Now, the way they've done this makes the problem even worse. And folks should understand that there's still a lawsuit out trying to block this. The Democrats replied to the lawsuit blocking it yesterday, or maybe it was today, and they're still waiting for the Attorney General to weigh in. But here's the gist of it. Remember, you've got some races on the ballot right now, such as the Supreme Court, that are statewide races. And yet in Clark County, inactive voters were all automatically mailed a ballot. but not in any other county. In Washoe County, if you go and vote in person, you can still use a voting machine, but you can't use the voting machines in any other county. So you've got two different sets of election rules in different parts of the state for a statewide election. This should be thrown out on its face by a judge. I doubt that it will, unfortunately, but it should be thrown out. And what they ought to do is force the legislature to come back into special session and say, you know what, we're going to have the primary election is going to be moved. Other states have moved their primaries. Move the primary election to August or even the first part of September. And that's not unheard of, Kevin. Long before, a lot of your listeners probably haven't been here as long as I have, but our primary elections used to be held the first week in September. A long time ago. So that wouldn't be a problem, per se, if the legislature decides that they're going to move the primary rather than do this mail-in election.
Let me ask you, looking ahead to November, are you satisfied that we're going to be in decent enough shape that we can have a regular old-fashioned polling place election? And you know, if somebody wants to do absentee ballot, they can do it. But then otherwise we'll all be walking up to the polling place?
We're in decent enough shape today, and we have been for a month at least. I saw a tweet today which I thought was funny. It said, look, why don't we just go ahead and move the in-person voting locations into a Target or a Walmart or a Home Depot, because it seems that it's safe enough for people to walk around there. So why is it safe to go into all these retail stores now, observing social distancing, wearing your face diaper? Why is it safe to do that, but it's not safe to go to a voting location? It makes absolutely no sense. Absolutely, there's no reason to have this be an all-mail election.
More with Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. We'll talk about hydroxychloroquine and whether the president should be taking it or not taking it, or is he lying to us and he's really not taking it. Morning Joe says it's all a lie, that there's no way he's taking hydroxychloroquine. Well, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll talk about that with Chuck Muth as we continue live and local now. In these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's why I recently called Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had my quotes for auto and renter's insurance ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars. In these uncertain times, who couldn't use more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, and ASI. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance while actually improving coverage? Then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group at 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your Assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Outrageous and inappropriate. That's what Governor Sisolak is calling the president's tweets. Chuck Muth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach. And are you surprised the governor came out with both barrels blazing?
No, what's outrageous and inappropriate is Governor Sisolak continuing to keep all of our casinos and a lot of our economy still shut down. This coronavirus crisis, remember, all these emergency orders supposedly were to make sure that our hospitals weren't overwhelmed. Well, that ain't happening. It hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen. We've got casinos opening in Arizona and California, and yet the Strip is still closed down. This governor has so screwed this thing up for us, and I just saw today story, Kevin, in the I think it was the Review Journal, that three bar restaurants are now closing. One was Miller's Ale House with two locations, and another one. I mean, the death count of businesses that are going under because of this ridiculous shutdown, this overreaction by our governor, it's going to be felt for months to come. I mean, we're just starting to see it. It's just terrible.
Chuck, it's always good, man. We'll get to the hydroxychloroquine question next week, I promise. You have yourself a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Take care.
Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, joining us. Check out Muth's Truths. It is fascinating, fascinating stuff. Coming up, Megan Barth. Remember the other day somebody said she had to run for governor? We'll find out when the campaign begins. Anyway, we'll talk about it. Coming up live and local now.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks are edging higher in afternoon trading as investors digest upbeat quarterly results from retailers Target and Lowe's. The home improvement retailer reporting sales and profits significantly above expectations. Its CEO Marvin Ellison says the pandemic's biggest boost to Lowe's first quarter sales came in the form of more interest in do-it-yourself projects around the house. Meanwhile, Target beating estimates on revenue and sales growth with its digital sales soaring 141%. An Urban Outfitters stock is tumbling today after a disappointing quarter with its sales declining 28%. Given its presence at malls, the retailer wasn't able to stay open during the crisis. While digital sales were up double digits, it wasn't enough to offset the losses from forced closures. Its Anthropologie's brand saw the largest loss with sales down 33%. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump on Twitter is again attacking the idea of more voting by mail.
Following news that Michigan's Secretary of State is sending all registered voters absentee ballot applications, the president tweeting incorrectly that the state is sending absentee ballots to 7.7 million people ahead of primaries and the general election. He continued, I will ask to hold up funding to Michigan if they want to go down this voter fraud path.
Fox's John Decker, several states with Republican governors are also sending absentee ballot applications to every voter. The virus pandemic is complicating efforts to help people forced from their homes by a cyclone.
Cyclone Amphan hitting along the coastline of India and Bangladesh, packing 100 mile per hour winds and sending more than 2.5 million people fleeing to shelters.
Fox's Simon Owen. America's listening to Fox News.
Has finally returned.
For Joey Logano.
And now, the countdown to the Coca-Cola 600 has begun.
Start your engine!
The Coca-Cola 600, live from Charlotte, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America Together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
You just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now for a Wednesday. The president, believe it or not, the president was tweeting out this morning. And he tweeted out a very interesting notion that he could essentially, in fact, I'll read you the tweet and then we'll get Megan Barth's reaction. This was from the president this morning about 6 a.m. Pacific time. State of Nevada, quote, thinks, unquote, that they can send out illegal vote-by-mail ballots, creating a great voter fraud scenario for the state and the U.S. They can't. And if they do, I think, I can hold up funds for the state. Sorry, but you must not cheat in elections. Governor Sisolak, just a few minutes ago, sent out a statement. He posted a statement just in the last 15 minutes. For the president to threaten federal funding in the midst of a pandemic over a state exercising its authority to run elections in a safe and legal manner is inappropriate and outrageous. Megan Barth from ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, Red Wave America PAC. Megan, what do you think? What do you think, first of all, what the president tweeted out about 6 a.m. this morning and then the response just about 10, 15 minutes ago from the Gov?
And also there was a response from Catherine Cortez Masto, a quite snarky one, if I might add that. But the president is right on and the governor, of course, is off. And why the governor is off is that there was nothing legal about this deal that Mark Elias, Hillary Clinton's attorney, made behind closed doors and in secret with the Clark County Elections Office, the Registrar's Office. None of the commissioners know what's in the deal. None of the public knows what's in the deal. But what we can gather from the private, secretive deal that was made between Hillary Clinton's attorney and Joe Gloria of the Clark County Election Office was that they are going to have ballot harvesters just in Clark County. They didn't go to the other 16 counties to make this secretive deal. They ignored those counties. They can't pick and choose. The Democrats can't pick and choose what counties they want to ballot harvest in or what county they want to use to change the entire state's election laws. And that's exactly what the Democrats did in this shady backroom deal. They want to pay ballot harvesters now just in Orange County. They want to eliminate signature verification on ballots. They are sending ballots to inactive voters, and we have seen plenty from the Nevada GOP as others of ballots piling up in apartment buildings, not being collected, or at least we assume they're not being collected. Perhaps they're being harvested by these paid ballot harvesters. We've seen ballots in garbage cans. There is no chain of custody when it comes to these ballots, and just in Clark County alone, an outside legal group did a study and found that there are tens of thousands of dead voters, of voters that are registered in two states, voting in two states. There are thousands of voters that are registered at UPS mailboxes. You can't use a commercial address as your registrant address if you're a voter. And all of these illegally registered voters, including dead people, are receiving ballots because our voter rolls are dirty here in Nevada. And so dirty voter rolls yield dirty elections, and you cannot change voting laws by a secretive agreement reached between Hillary Clinton's lawyer and Joe Gloria of the Clark County Registrar's Office. You actually have to use legislation that comes out of Carson City to change our state's voting laws.
So that would mean so that would mean a special session. They would need a special session.
They will need some sort of legislative action in order to change voting laws. Ballot harvesting is illegal in this state. Picking one county, the largest county in the state, which is over 70% of the votes cast in this state, is a win for Democrats, isn't it? They didn't choose the rurals. They chose specifically the bluest county in Nevada to ballot harvest and change election laws.
So how is that? First of all, we've got a primary election that is not just coming up June 9th. It's here. People are voting. So for the general election, how do we fight this?
Well, currently there's a couple different lawsuits, one that I'm more familiar with, which is being heard currently in federal court. There was amended preliminary injunction, an amended federal lawsuit filed by True the Vote. It will be heard and decided on in Nevada federal court under an Obama-appointed judge. Her last name is Du. She rejected the first lawsuit. However, she's accepted this second lawsuit based on an expansion of plaintiffs, as well as an amended preliminary injunction because of the actions that happened in Clark County. They are using the precedent of Bush v. Gore as their argument, meaning you just can't pick and choose what counties you want counted for the election because that dilutes the vote of other voters in other counties. And so we expect a decision from this judge on the 22nd, so it's in a couple days. If we lose, we appeal in June to the Ninth Circuit. And this has been an expedited, by the way. So this has been an expedited case. It is being heard by this federal judge, in northern Nevada. And it will be decided on within 7 days, which is the 22nd.
So where is the Secretary of State, Barb Zagafsky, in all of this? Is she leading or is she following? Or just crickets?
Well, she's named as a defendant in the lawsuit, and she's being supported by the Democrats.
That's weird.
Well, she started this whole thing back in March, before we even knew about the virus, before we really knew anything about the virus. She changed the election law. She said, oh, well, we're going to go to an all-mail-in ballot election. And she claims it's just for the primary. You really don't think that this is going to be for the general? This is the goal. They want mail-in ballots. Now, some people will say, well, what's wrong with mail-in ballots? Donald Trump mailed in his ballot. It's much different. They are conflating, the Democrats are purposely conflating absentee ballots with mail-in ballots. Absentee ballots have a number of verification steps that you have to take as a voter to prove who you are, where you live, in order to vote. You usually have a disability, you're going to be out of town, et cetera. And so now they want to remove signature verification from ballots. So they want to remove all of the verifications required for absentee voting, now to change to complete mail-in voting. When you do mail-in voting, you use the existing registration logs that the counties have throughout the state. Well, if the registration data is completely dirty, which it is, we still have dead people voting. Remember, Kevin, a couple years ago, I think we said we found a 115-year-old person on the voting rolls that showed up and voted in Nevada.
Yeah.
You think that 115-year-old, the oldest person living at the time, would make national news? And somehow this 115-year-old person went to the polls and cast a vote.
Wonder if she'll vote again this time around.
Yeah, well, we'll find out, won't we?
That is incredible.
It'll be 117 now.
Yeah. That's just bizarre. Okay, so you expect a decision from Judge Due on or about the 22nd, which is a couple of days from now, so maybe by either the end of the week or early next week. How soon can you get into the Ninth Circuit?
We would file an immediate appeal.
Okay.
What's interesting about the Ninth Circuit is that they have a motions panel, which is comprised of three judges currently, and it changes each month. In the month of May, there are two Democrats, one Republican. In the month of June, we expect two Republicans, one Democrat. So, of course, we file and we wait until June 1st.
Okay.
If we lose. But if the Democrats lose, they will file the appeal. But we expect to lose because we have a judicial activist sitting at the federal bench.
Will this ever get to the, or will they simply bypass the state Supreme Court?
This is a federal.
Federal issue? Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Through the vote specifically avoided the Nevada state court system because it is specifically the Supreme Court as well, because it is Democrat controlled.
Okay.
That's why down ballots are so very important. I have to stress to everyone that judicial positions, Supreme Court positions, DA positions, commissioner positions, school board positions, water board positions, all of the down ballots are extraordinarily important because tyranny starts in your own backyard. It doesn't start in Washington, D.C. So if you have a question about the down ballot, find out who these people are, follow the money, find out about their judicial decisions, what groups are supporting them, and that will give you an idea of their ideology.
Let's move on to Steve Horsford. Stephen Horsford in CD4. He's running for re-election. A couple of weeks removed from the from the primary election, which, by the way, is ongoing. This, because of the mail-in ballot, we are in the midst of an election. We now know that Stephen Horsford had an affair with a 21-year-old intern in Harry Reid's office beginning in 2009. It has continued to this day. And now Stephen Horsford is apologizing and asking for privacy, but yet he helped support this woman with his own funds, with government funds, with campaign funds. We don't know. And the delegation, the Nevada delegation, has been uniquely silent till last night when Catherine Cortez Masto and Jackie Rosen issued statements saying this is a personal matter. Let's go back, first of all, to the affair. I am shocked that women in Congress would just take this thing lying down and just say, oh, it's a personal matter. We'll just let it go.
You're shocked? That's what they did with Bill Clinton.
But it's women. These are women that are saying, oh, I guess it's okay.
Democrat women. They're Democrat women. When Democrat women are sexually harassed or carry on illicit affairs with powerful Democrat women look the other way. We have been shown this throughout the annals of history. When Bill Clinton was diddling around with his 21-year-old intern, we were told by the NOW organization, the feminist organizations, even Hillary Clinton, it was a private issue. So this is what happens. If Steve Horsford were a Republican, this would be front page news of the Nevada Indy. Catherine Cortez Masto and Dinah Titus and other women in the Nevada delegation would be screaming for his resignation. But of course, because it's a Democrat man, they will defer to the fact that it's a private issue. This happens all the time, Kevin. It's happened as long as I've been alive, paying attention to politics, going back to Bill Clinton. I mean, my God, Ted Kennedy was the lion of the Senate. He was exalted in the Senate. And he left a woman to die while he drove away on Chappaquiddick, over the Chappaquiddick River. So this is not a new game for Democrats. Hypocrisy is in their blood, and they are definitely not champions of women. I mean, thank God Steve Horsford didn't put his concubine into a binder. Because then Steve Horsford would have binders full of women.
Well, okay, so we don't know where this money that supported this woman, this Gabriella Linder, the then 21-year-old intern, we don't know where that money came from. Have you seen any indication of where that is? And if not, why aren't members of the House? Now, you know, these were senators that came out today. Is there any reason why the House isn't moving at least towards an investigation, ethics committee or otherwise, as to where this money came from?
Yes, the reason is because they're Democrats.
Yikes.
That's the reason. They aren't going to investigate. You know, if Steve Horsford was involved with his wife and his intern, then it would be throupling. And so you saw Democrats come after Katie Hill, which I thought was interesting. Because of her throupling arrangement, she had to resign, and Mark Garcia now has won that seat in California. So maybe if Steve Horsford just added his wife to the mix, then it would be cause for investigation by the Democrats.
So how far do you want to go with Stephen Horsford? You want him to be forced to resign? Do you want an investigation? Where are you?
Well, I'd certainly like to know where the money was coming from and how he was able to pay this woman's lifestyle, or at least keep her for the last 10 years. I'd certainly like to know that. I think that the voters have a right to know that, whether or not taxpayer dollars were funding his illicit lifestyle.
Good point. Good point. I don't know that we'll ever find out about this because I don't see anybody. Now, there are a bunch of folks in CD4 who want Stephen Horsford's job, and a lot of them have called for investigation. Some have called for resignation. This is one we'll have to wait and see. Do you think we'll get to the bottom of it, or do you think they'll cover it up?
Well, knowing how the Democrats operate, they'll simply, if they don't cover it up, they'll simply just ignore it. And as Masto, whoever it was, said it's a private issue, they will just ignore it.
Okay, in our final couple of minutes, I got to ask you, only because it came up on the show the other day, one of your most ardent fans, and I forget his name, he said, why doesn't Megan Barth run for governor? Because I was saying, you know, somebody needs to rise up and become a point person for this, the recall efforts and all the stuff going on, the civil disobedience, Apollo CrossFit and some of these other businesses that want to challenge the governor, that somebody needs to run against this governor on the basis of his performance in this pandemic. And somebody said, well, why not Megan Barth? So I'll ask you. When do you kick off the campaign?
Well, I'm flattered by the support. I have other obligations that I'm involved with that I enjoy. It is simply my position to be an activist, to call out the hypocrisy, to beat radical Democrats, and to resist, as they say. The political field is not certainly out of my vision. I've been asked numerous times over the course of my activism career to run. It has never really appealed to me, but I will never shut the door on opportunity. But I would probably start a little bit smaller and then maybe work myself up through the chain.
Okay. Well, do me a favor. If you change your mind, you promise you'll let me know?
You'll probably be the first to know, Kevin. Yes, absolutely.
I love that. anyway, we'll put the run for governor on hold, at least for the time being. It's always great. If folks want to catch up with you, how do they do it?
But with that said, I think it's very important for everyone to not forget what Governor Sisolak did to this economy and did to the working class. No matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you were labeled as non-essential. Unless, of course, you are working in a Walmart.
Yeah.
They can find me at ReaganBabe.com.
Very good. Very good. Megan, you have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Thanks so much, Kevin.
There you go. And don't forget to, if you do change your mind, you call me right here. That's Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Apparently, she has other things going on that are going to take precedence over a run for governor, at least for now. But there's still plenty of time. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Wednesday. It's Hump Day. It is Live and Local now.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, Pipcoa can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call Pipcoa at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
Hi, I'm Sawyer Silberkraus. My dad, Steven Silberkraus, is running for university regent. He wants to make sure that every kid like me can get a good education. Please vote for my dad, Steven Silberkraus, for university regent. He'll do a good job for you. Paid for by friends for Steven Silberkraus. I love you, Dad.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
As a woman and a mom, sometimes you just have to take a stand. Take Dan Rodimer, who's running for Congress. You kidding me? Rodimer's violent criminal record is an immediate disqualifier. Rodimer has been arrested for violent assaults 3 times. In one case, Rodimer admitted guilt to battery. Another Rodimer attack was so horrific, his victim had intracranial bleeding. A witness at one attack told police Rodimer bragged he liked to hurt people. And an arrest warrant described Rodimer as armed or dangerous. But there's more. A police report detailed Rodimer's harassment of a teenage girl, while another exposed Rodimer was investigated for a domestic incident. It's bad enough Rodimer was sued for forgery, fraud, and for not paying his taxes. But violent assaults and harassing women? That's unforgivable. Paid for and authorized by Friends of Dan Schwartz.
I'm Dan Schwartz, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Okay, so we both we've heard from both of the U.S. senators from Nevada, Catherine Cortez Masto and Jackie Rosen, and both are saying the same thing. It's a personal matter, don't they? I mean, aren't they enraged that yet another influential, well-heeled guy? At the time, he was a member of the state legislature. And they don't make lots of money. And then he went from there to the House, where they pay you $174,000. Where is the moral outrage from these women? These are women. They should be more sensitive to this issue than anybody. And yet, all they can say is it's a personal issue. In lockstep. They even use the same words. Anyway, coming up, David Bossi, he helped elect the president back in 2016, deputy campaign manager. I had a chance to talk to him, and we'll find out what the president is really up to, especially this hydroxychloroquine thing. We'll do that and more coming up, live and local now.
Nevada. This is Ted Nugent. That's right. Ted Nugent full time. I'm calling on behalf of Republican candidate for Congress, Sam Peters, who I have proudly endorsed. Sam is a retired Air Force officer, a Bronze Star-earning warfighter, and one hell of an American. Like me, he supports God, family, country, President Trump, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and build that wall. In fact, leaders at the NRA, we just gave Sam a perfect rating. As a business owner, Sam knows how to get Nevada back to work and our country rocking and rolling again. Join Ted Nugent, the Nugent family. Endorse Sam Peters for Nevada with your vote. Learn more about Sam at sampetersforcongress.com. That's Sam Peters, the number 4, congress.com.
I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. I approve this message.
This is paid for by the Committee to Elect Sam Peters for Congress. God bless America.